Imagine living in a tiny village with a 60-mile-an-hour through road. During the day, 2,000 people in their vehicles come to your village, park all over the place because there's no formal parking, and wander dreamily about without a care for their own safety. All because they love Harry Potter. Welcome to Glenfinnan.
Hello, I'm Fiona Gibson and I live in Glenfinnan and I've lived here for over 30 years. At the moment we're standing outside Glenfinnan Church, St Mary and St Finnan, and the community today are, whoops, as a lorry goes by.
Well, that's part of the story.
We're getting all together today to do a snapshot of how many people are visiting Glenfinnan because we hope to have a project going to alleviate the parking difficulties that we have.
And just as you're speaking, cars are drawing up and they're parking right behind us, and I know they're parking in every other available spot in the village. Need we spell out why?
Well, Harry Potter seems to be the big draw. I mean, Glenfinnan has been used as a film location for quite a few films, and we get scouts coming up, but the Harry Potter films first started in the year 2000, and the growth of it and the popularity of them just keeps going. So we've got more and more and more and more people all want to see the steam train crossing the viaduct. We have an application going into the Rural Tourism Infrastructure Fund, which has been set up by the Scottish Government to allow people to apply for it in order to help where tourists cause pressures on local residents. And we have been affected by this increase in transport and buses and people since 2015. So we've got all the community involved today to show their support for this application and also to give us a real good idea of just how many people are coming in this 2-hour period that we're doing it for.
And is that reliable every day? You get this huge crush of people through the season, maybe more than once a day?
More than once a day. We've got the steam train runs twice a day. There's two trains, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. The two cross in the afternoon, and then the one from Malig at night goes past at 7:45.
And are there always people for these?
Yes. And they're starting to get here earlier and earlier because reports on TripAdvisor and social media say, you know, if you want to get a space, you want to get a good view, make sure you come here early.
And they're having to squeeze in higgledy-piggledy everywhere, and this is causing great concern.
Yes, it is. We've had incidences where residents can't get out to go to town. The nearest town is Fort William. We've had an ambulance that can't get through on a couple of occasions. Your whole life has to change. You know, you think, I'll nip into town, I'll go to my appointment, and you look at your watch and think, well, I can't because I can't get out the road end to get to move. And even the anxiety starts building up in you because it's not safe, the parking areas that we do have. And you just get anxious because you're worried an accident is going to happen. Glenfinnan Estate have provided some land for our use for community benefit. And the idea would be that by providing that and a path and a bridge across the river, that we can stop people crossing this busy road and have them stay in the village a wee bit longer, not just race through catching sight of this train. And that if they're here longer, they can see more of the village and the other things we have to offer.
I think we should mention about this road. It's not some quiet rural road.
This is the main route, the Road to the Isles, the A830 from Fort William to Malig. It has all the traffic going to Skye, and it has the business traffic and lorries going past. It's a 60-mile limit for most of it, especially the busiest parts as well.
And so in an ideal world, you could wave a Harry Potter-style magic wand and get a smaller speed limit, a lower speed limit?
Oh, that would be magic. It would just be more sensible, you know, a 40-mile speed limit, a 30-mile speed limit, more speed-reducing things.
Is that ever going to happen?
I'm never say never.
But you haven't, have you? You've approached about it?
We've approached about it, but have not been successful. They have come out and looked at signage and markings on the road, but I think we would like to see something a bit more physical happen to it.
I'm afraid I'm a bit breathless because we've been heaving up the hill. But we just paused at the War Memorial, lovely quiet spot, which is on the route up to the train station or down from the train station. And lovely tranquil spot. Fiona, do they leave this alone?
Oh, no, they don't. We've got a small sort of pool-in area here for people to sit at the War Memorial. And they drive over the pavement and churn up the verges. Fortunately, it's been dry recently, in fact, very dry, so it's not too bad and churned up. But you can see that the grass is all worn away.
So any available spot is crammed at this time?
Any available spot. The closer to the viaduct, the better. But basically anywhere they can stop.
So we've actually trucked up the hill towards the station. I've come across a very handsome looking young man, I must say. So needless to say, I have to go and stop and talk to him. Who are you?
I'm very well, yeah. Just staying here for a bit.
Who are you?
Oh.
I wasn't caring about how are you. Who are you?
I'm Paul Barnes. I suppose my role at the station is caretaker, and I look after the station, the plants, and also there's a bunkhouse up there which I run, that's in a train carriage and everything.
I hear you're a bit of an actor as well.
Yeah, I do acting from time to time. I do small kind of community-based projects along the railway mainly.
You've got a great little setup here because you've got your flask and you've got your chair. 10 minutes to go before the big moment. So what have you been seeing this morning?
A lot of people kind of, obviously they want to see the viaduct and they don't really know where to go for that. So they trek up the station, turn around, cause a bit of mayhem, then come straight back down. And then of course, all the car parks are full for one as well. Yeah. So there's nowhere for them to park either. So.
But do you see this as a potential opportunity, say for your businesses and others? Because there is a lot of people around.
Of course, you'd be daft not to see the potential. It's just the infrastructure is just not there to cope with the amount of visitors, and that's the rub, basically.
This Belgian big 4x4 is just going in. There's normal work traffic here, but there's camper vans, motorcyclists, cyclists, and they are trying to squeeze into every single nook and cranny that they can find here. It is a stunning place to come to.
And it's a shame that people are rushing through here to catch a steam train that's only going to be in the village for 22 minutes or half an hour, and they have to rush away and can't get parked. But if they were somewhere where they could stop and spend more time, they can enjoy all the things that Glenfinnan can offer. We've got lovely walks, we've got historical things for them to visit, and they can spend a little bit more time.
We've arrived at Glenfinnan station. Needless to say, it's absolutely beautiful. It's not overly Harry Potterified. It's obviously been a proper... It is a proper train station. And I'm with, tell me who you are.
John Barnes, and I'm the chairman of the Glenfinnan Station Museum Trust.
I saw you behind the counter lurking. What, do you run the shop?
Well, I'm just keeping an eye on things in general.
So you'll have a very good idea of what the crush of people is like here. What is it like? We're minutes from the train arriving.
So people are starting to gather, particularly around the viaduct. That's the best viewpoint, is off the path that we've made between here and the viaduct.
And the train that's going to come through, the steam locomotive, and will there be Harry Potter fans and people on that?
There'll be all sorts. They'll be dressed up, all sorts of Harry Potter gear, Dumbledore's.
Oh, sorry, I forgot my scarf.
Witches' hats and so on. We've got our own concession to Harry Potter.
Oh, I see, the witch's broom.
It's probably the most important item for the Harry Potterites amongst the train.
They'll all spot
passengers
that.
Appearing shortly. I've just got to check the toilets are open for the passengers.
Oh, very important.
I'll just have
go! You can hear the gentle puffing of the train. It's left the viaduct and it's only seconds away from getting here. You can see the steam just rising above it. It's not going at full throttle, but there is steam coming from the funnel. Slowing down, the Jacobite it's called. Beautiful pitch black. The Glasgow Highland are on the side. And they're all people sitting in the carriages, which are deep burgundy red, and they're all looking quite, well, there's a small boy looking quite entranced.
Finish down the train, please.
I'm not seeing anybody with wizard's hats on. Yeah. They're a bit more sort of subdued, this lot.
Yes, who knows?
That's the sound of the train resting here at Glenfinnan Station. It's got to wait till one of the other modern trains go by, and nobody's allowed off. But you can hear the engine and all its crew being busy about their business. Comes the modern train going through. And to join in the general ambient sound, here comes the piper. Yeah. You can gather the atmosphere here as the train rests at Glenfinnan station. One train's gone by, steam's coming out the funnels and round the edges. The crew are busy in their driver's compartment, engine room with all its beautiful shining brass. Oh, and it's pulling out. Away it goes. It's coming back in. Sounds like some huge puffing walrus or something. And people are all standing up inside. I think they're desperate to get off, which they will do in a minute. But they're all excited. Right, so here's the piper starting. People are getting off the train.
How are you?
Oh, bye. Yeah, there's someone with a school tie on. I take it that's a bit Harry Potter-ish. There's lots of people with these ties on.
Hey, Hannes, I'm the curator for the Glenfinnan Station Museum. They're just having a look around. Bits and pieces we have on display around here.
So when the train comes in like this, how many people are likely to be milling around if they all got off the train?
Around about 360.
That's quite a lot for a tiny little place, several times a day.
It is, yes.
And do they actually spend money here?
Yes, they do. A certain amount. There's only so much you can custom you can make in 20 minutes. But the people who are actually interested in what they see, they return. So,
oh, do they? They have a look and think, this is worth coming back.
Yes.
What else do you get here? Do you get the full works of wizards and whatever?
Yes, we do. And wizards of all ages, I might add.
A bit like Halloween.
We headed back down the hill to the junction with Glenfinnan House Hotel, and in between dodging frightening amounts of traffic, found resident Ingrid Henderson counting vehicles.
Well, from about 10:15 this morning, there's sort of a panic element in tourists to get their car parked and to get up to the bridge as quickly as possible. So we've actually been helping them a wee bit this morning just to alleviate the kind of chaos that happens. But so far, I have about 120 cars counted, and that's for an area that has no official car park, and 11 camper vans. And we have footage of people reversing out onto a main road, onto a 60-mile-an-hour road, people crossing a road. I think because people are in holiday mode and they're wanting to get to see the Harry Potter Bridge, they don't think about maybe the safety aspect. So there have been a couple of near misses already this morning of people walking out, perhaps people from foreign countries who are not thinking to look on in the right direction. So it's not very good for your health.
I could tell your nerves are absolutely shot, and I know Fiona's are shot because she's so worried about the safety here.
Yeah, there's a real issue. And actually, I think we saved a lot of problems today because there were people around taking numbers and we were helping move the cars on and get them parked in fields and in different places. Because on other days, there are people parking on verges on the sides of the road, which is causing people to walk out onto the main road more. But
what on earth must it be like when you're not watching? I mean, it's still going on. I mean, have there been any incidents?
No, I mean, a lot of near misses. It's really amazing that there haven't been sort of more incidents. But I think it's because local people are very, very aware when they travel through Glenfinnan. Like, our local hauliers are extremely aware, even though it's a 60-mile-an-hour limit where they walk to the Harry Potter Bridge and where the Glenfinnan Monument is. I think locals and local businesses are very, very aware, so they do slow down. And there is a bit of traffic calming, But there's frustration builds up as well.
Is there enough signage as you approach either side?
Probably not. No, that's probably true. But I think if the speed limit was cut from 60 to at least 40, perhaps even 30, that would make a massive, massive difference. Because if people can travel legally here at 60, it's really worrying when you have hundreds and thousands of people crossing a main road. I'm a musician and a music teacher as well. I play Gaelic and Highland music. We've also got a recording studio in Glenfinnan, so we live and work from Glenfinnan. I've spent years sort of touring the world playing music. There's quite a remarkable thing happens that people ask where you're from and you tend to be quite general about where you're from, but now you can actually be quite specific. Years ago, people would never know where Glenfinnan was, and the minute you mention the Harry Potter Bridge, their eyes light up and they know exactly where you're from, even though it's this tiny wee village with barely 100 people in it. But it's kind of known all over the world, which is nice in one sense, but I just wish visitors had a better experience. I mean, the people we've spoken to today have been really lovely, and they've been very grateful of our help, actually, and they're all people that want to come here. They're on holiday, they're having a nice time, so if we can help make that experience a bit better, we'd be happier, they'd be happier, everything would work better.
You're on the community council, and I guess this is your main issue.
Yeah, for the community council, this is this has become kind of our biggest issue really in the last 3 or 4 years in particular. The speed limit and road safety, that's been there a lot longer, but the actual parking issue, numbers have grown. But
you've got a young lad here, ticket. This is your son?
Yes.
Have you
yes.
ever felt moments of anxiety?
Yeah, I do. I mean, my son, Seamus, is 11, and there's a lot of kids in the village, sort of 11 and below, and I would never let him come out on his bike to the main road without me. And it's not because he's not, kind of canny and safe on the road, but it's more you just don't know what's going to happen, and people are, they're driving hire cars, they're driving on the other side of the road, and they're in holiday mode, and yeah, there's just a lot of pretty unsafe things happen here, so it's...
Yes. Across the main road, watch
the and the amazing thing about this is now 10 to 12, the train has long passed the bridge, but people are still turning up.
I can't believe it.
There's
snakes of people walking this way, plunging into the woods, coming out of the woods. There's car alarms going off. There's lorries, there's vans, mm-hmm. there's camper vans, motorcycles. I mean, it's just constant. I understand why you guys' nerves are absolutely shattered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not, I don't want to be doing this every day.
Not far away is a cheery man unravelling and directing the traffic. He's resident Alistair Gibson.
I can see that you're, kept very busy with these hordes of people, talking to them and guiding them, but presumably you've got other things that you should be doing too.
I have a job, a full-time job, estate manager.
Exactly, so you're taking part in the survey this morning. Has it opened your eyes, or did you know it was that bad anyway?
No, I had an idea how bad it was. I was saying about 200 going up there, and we're exceeding 250 at the moment, people. And the same number would be above the National Trust there. So we're looking at 500 people, roughly.
At this moment, milling about, or for that train?
For that train.
But they're still here. I mean, I can see snakes of them here, there and everywhere.
Some missed the train because the traffic's so heavy, and they're just enjoying the walk. Maybe they wouldn't be here if it was raining.
Well, we haven't had that problem so much this summer.
No, no.
But you speak to them, Alistair. I notice you're very chatty. What sort of things, what impressions do you get from them?
They're incredibly excited at seeing the Harry Potter Bridge. I stop the car, as you've probably seen there, and get them to wind down their window, and they're totally confused. They don't know what's going on. And I say, you're here for the Harry Potter Bridge, and all I get is smiles. And that is what excites them. And it's mothers of children, Warner Brothers was here from 2000 to 2009. So that whole cohort have come through and are now bringing their children. And it's just a whole phenomena that we didn't really understand when we took the Warner Brothers dollar.
Yeah. and it's something that shows no sign of abating, I suppose, the more languages it gets translated into. It's not like a sort of flash in the pan.
Oh, not at all. The number of Oriental visitors that are coming is exceeding, I would say, 50%.
Are you thankful to Warner Brothers, or are you thinking, oh, please, I wish it hadn't happened?
No, I'm thankful because the Highlands lives on tourism. We have an excess of 300,000 footfall here. The National Trust are staying open all the year round now.
But does that translate into a good economic boost for all the villagers?
No, it certainly does cause problems. My wife is late getting to work if she would leave at a normal time, so she has to leave up to an hour early. Yes,
an hour,
just to be sure.
Where does she work?
She works in the Belford Hospital.
Oh, we've had some serious chaos here, Alistair. What's been happening?
Well, someone's pulled into the wrong side of the road and there's somebody going the other way, and it's all confusing because we're backing up here at the estate entrance, which isn't an official car park.
Someone parked illegally further up.
They're over the white line.
This is incredible. There's two cars trying to reverse out of this not even official car park. They're reversing out in different directions. Somebody's more or less pushing them out because he's coming out of the car park frontwards. There's a huge big Ferguson lorry.
And this is an A road and they can do 60 miles an hour here. There's no restriction. They won't give us a restriction.
And the traffic on the main road just keeps on coming and coming. And it quite, as you say, it's entitled to drive at 60.
Yeah, even though
you're a village under siege.
Yes, not bad for the 1745.
Oh, we haven't even talked about the monument, which used to be the original. We're going to talk about it. But that used to be the reason people came.
That's why the centre is there, and it was gifted to the National Trust. Ooh, I don't know. It was built in 1815 by MacDonald of Glen Allerdale. So yeah, people came here. There was a small cafeteria or tea shop, I suppose, in those days, that was on the south side of the road on the monument side, and then it was gifted to National Trust, and they've gradually expanded, but they've only got a very small footprint, so they can't go any further.
And they can't capitalise on this crush of people either.
They can. I think if you go and speak to the National Trust, they'll tell you there are 31 buses in the other day. But it's. I mean, 300,000 people. How many attractions get that in Scotland? Not many. We really ought to be doing a lot better. Camper vans. We're getting 6-7 camper vans a night parking in the area. So when we do build this car park, which could be 150 spaces, there'll be 10 dedicated for camper vans.
And will you charge them?
Yes. We have to have a business plan, and though we can't be massively profitable, we have to work something in for maintenance and paying the staff, because there's going to have to be staff to... You can do it in honesty, but I've asked people to do things honestly, and there's certainly some do. And I know what human nature's like. So here we are.
This is a German camper van. It's at the bottom of this steep 60 mile an hour. And it just stopped because it didn't know what to do.
Yeah, go along and try and find a parking space.
Oh, heavens above.
Yeah.
Still smiling faces. Oh, here comes another coach. It's hurtling. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And there's people everywhere. We've come down away from the mad junction to a rather peaceful flat area bordered by trees, and we can see the famous viaduct ahead of us. This, I gather, is what you've got your sights on.
Yes, it has. That's somebody who's locked out of their car that we're trying to fix for them. This flat area of land is a great view for the viaduct and perfect spot for cars and camper vans. The landowner is well aware of the problems caused by parking and dangerous activity on the main road. So he's willing to lease this land to the community for to run as a car park. So we will get community benefit from this, and all to the good.
So you're looking for 300,000. Will that do it?
Hopefully we have it priced up, and 300,000 should do it.
Like just a hardcore area?
Hardcore. It's sort of dirt track with a main spine coming out for cars. So it's not going to be a concrete flat, horrible thing, because we've also got to think of the view from the train from the viaduct.
Just something purely functional, and just it will make such a difference.
Yes, and it's close too, because we've realised from TripAdvisor reviews and what people tell us that they want to get close to the viaduct. People aren't willing to walk a great distance. So this is just an absolute perfect piece of ground.
My name's Sandy Hughes, and I live at the top of Glenfinnan, and I've been here since December.
I'm Ali Entwistle. I live at the bottom of the hill in Glenfinnan, and I've been here since November.
And you have been doing this survey this morning. What's been your experience?
It's been really quite an eye-opener this morning. We're down near the National Trust and we've literally just been counting people crossing the road in one direction.
And believe me, it's narrow, listeners, and they go down here at some rate of knots, as they're entitled to do.
We've had quite a few cars have to brake quite violently when people are stepping back to take photographs. People just casually just walking across and actually not looking either direction when they're crossing. And cars even just stopping just to take photographs from their car and then driving on as well. That's just a few of the incidents we've seen.
I spot some kittens on the floor, and I presume you had them earlier.
We've had quite a few today, I can tell you. We're in a very safe spot away from everybody, and we can see completely both directions, but it really is quite frightening, particularly when people just literally cross over. If they think a car's going slow or they perceive slow, they're literally walking out in mm-hmm. front, which is quite something.
Now, we're at the famous monument, which used to be what people really knew Glenfinnan for. Are these a different sort of people that come here, do you think, from the Harry Potter people?
I can only relate it to my own experience. I was a driver guide about 15 years ago for a small company, and I used to come out here, and sometimes in my wee minibus with 16 folk, I would be the only person here, and I would bring them in for coffee, and I'd be the only person in a bus in the car park, maybe two or three other cars.
A freshwater inland lock, being 18 miles long, making it the fourth longest in Scotland, which is no mean feat when you consider how many locks we have. And it's created through many years of glacial activity and formation, and the last ice age being about 11,000 years ago.
That's Ben MacDonald, guide with Lough Shiel Cruises, entertaining passengers as they glide down one of Scotland's biggest freshwater lochs aboard Sheila's, skippered by Ali Monsef, who, with his wife Rosie, recently took over the business. Relaxing aboard ship, away from the hubbub of the viaduct, I asked Rosie what it was like for a young family coming to an area with so much potential, yet rather obvious challenges.
There's a huge number of visitors to the area, especially to Glenfinnan, and we take three, four, sometimes trips a day of different groups down the loch on various different kinds of cruises. But it does have its challenges as well.
I mean, I've been out there all morning looking at the traffic problem and the dangers of it, and the pedestrians swarming everywhere, and it was a complete bedlam at times. And I imagine this is probably not helpful for promoting your business on the ground to people passing through.
No, that's absolutely right. It's very hard to find a solid base to promote from. It's a very transient group of tourists who come to Glenfinnan, and they have to have places to stop in order to use businesses like our own and get on board the boat for up to 6 hours, up to 8 hours in fact, on some of our trips. If there's nowhere for them to leave their vehicles, they simply can't come aboard.
So who comes then? What do they do with their vehicles?
We share facilities with the Glenfinnan House Hotel. They're very kind and understanding about our need to use facilities that are there. But now, hopefully, with the development of new facilities, it will be easier for our visitors not to have to use up their valuable spaces at the hotel. And at the other end of the loch, at Caracal, they also have to use whatever space they can find, but it's quieter, much quieter that end than it is at Glenfinnan.
You brought your young family here, and is this where you would intend to stay and grow your business?
Well, we certainly hope the business will grow, and at the moment we commute to Glenfinnan from the other side of the country at the weekends while my husband runs the boat full time. But even now we have to commute from Fort William because of the lack of local accommodation. And the prices are very high for us, looking for somewhere that's suitable for us to stay as a family. So we'll take it as it comes. This is our first season owning the business, and we'll see how it goes, whether we can justify moving over. And for that to happen, the business needs to grow, and we need to find somewhere that's affordable to live.
Yeah, you're touching on the kind of things that, for example, Highland Council in their region are very well aware of. The need for affordable housing, and very well aware for the need of infrastructure. But it just never seems to get joined up. Here are you, young family, two children, boosting the economy, and yet there are so many challenges just coming and starting a business.
Yeah, that's right. I think a lot of people in Glenfinnan, they have to send their children to school a long way just to start with. So the fuel costs of living in Glenfinnan are very high. It's, you know, hugely popular tourists, so even to get a bed overnight is almost impossible as they're booked up months in advance. And there's, you know, there's huge potential here. It's such a beautiful area, but we have to all be able to use it for business use and also for leisure use.
I think we're going to have to go to Hogwarts Magic School to try and find a wand big enough to sort out all the problems.
Well, that's right. Hogwarts was just on that headland up there. Being mere muggles, we can't see these things, of course.